This is Hidden Mickey Guy, Steve Barrett, and you're listening to the Disney Nerds Podcast.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 46 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to take a look back at the past and come up with some of our favorite rides that are no longer at Walt Disney World. What are some of the things park by park that they've removed that we really think shouldn't have been removed or we just really miss? This is Ed.
This is Jimmy.
Sam.
And Jennifer.
And here we go.
R2, light speed to Endor!
Now, on this week's show, like I said, we're going to talk about some of the things at Walt Disney World that aren't there anymore. And for this specific show, we're just going to stay in the Walt Disney parks, and we're going to try to stay with attractions. Now, the first park we're going to go to is the Magic Kingdom, and we kind of go to the Magic Kingdom with kind of a sad heart. As we're recording, we've heard only a couple hours ago the passing of Robin Williams. Now, I haven't put my whole mind around what we're hearing so far, so we're really not going to talk too much about Robin and things like that, other than just that he's really going to be missed. And one of the things of the Magic Kingdom that really kind of falls right into the type of show we're doing is an attraction that used to be in Tomorrowland that we did really miss is the Timekeeper attraction, which, as all of us know as nerds, was Robin Williams' voice in that. How'd you hear about Robin Williams today, guys? Did you just hear it on the radio, or where were we at?
I actually didn't hear about it until I got home from work, and I saw it on Facebook, and my first reaction was that it was one of those posts that were a hoax, because you see a lot of those these days that, you know, so-and-so passed away. So I'm thinking, I saw somebody had posted to the Disney Nerds group, actually, and I'm thinking, oh, somebody's posting a hoax, but I better take that down. And then I saw it was like from E! Online. I'm like, oh, well, maybe it's not a hoax. And then after that, I saw more and more posts coming through. So it's pretty sad.
Yeah, my husband and I were both playing with our older kids this evening after dinner. And he got an alert. I'm not sure what app or whatever he might have gotten it on, but he got an alert and mentioned it. And we both kind of reacted probably the same way many of us did, just shocked and tread lightly because I have young kids and didn't talk a lot about it yet. So we're still kind of processing it as well, but very shocked and sad.
So my 14-year-old daughter asked me, who's Robin Williams? I think he passed away today. My first reaction was, he's the genie. And my thoughts were, wait a minute, that's Mork. And you just start going through all the things.
Right.
You look at it, one of the things that crossed my mind was the Timekeeper attraction and the fact that we were going over these attractions this evening, and it was already on my list of things that I miss from the Magic Kingdom. It was both
absolutely
Robin Williams as the Timekeeper and Rhea Perlman as Nine-Eye, which was the robot with nine eyes that you were seeing things through. I just always liked that attraction.
I never knew it was her. Thanks.
And absolutely. Also Jeremy Irons, the voice of Scar, made an appearance.
Right. Jules Verne, I believe.
Or H.G. Wells. I can't remember which he was. But
I think it might have been H.G.
Yeah, but that the attraction did feature both of them. It was such a cool show.
There were so many 80s and 90s type catches in that you knew its time would come, right? It was pretty dated by the time they removed it, but it was fun.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. The thoughts of the show definitely go out to Robin's family, and I'm sure we're going to talk about this with the rest of the country over the next couple weeks. But considering it was kind of tied into our show, we wanted to definitely mention it now. And since we are in the Magic Kingdom, let's kind of move on. And what we're going to do is go person by person and take something that we really, really miss from the Magic Kingdom and maybe give a reason or two why we miss it so much. Who wants to start tonight?
I will. there's so many attractions, I think, just because there are so many in the park at a given time at the Magic Kingdom that there, it was kind of hard to choose until I started thinking about attractions as a whole. And the number one thing I miss most, and it's still a little fresh, is Spectro Magic. To me, that was, it wasn't even the first, you know, a lights parade that I saw there, but it's the one I enjoyed the most. I loved the soundtrack, and I just thought it was so beautiful, so majestic. And I was kind of brokenhearted when I heard they ultimately destroyed the float. There's pretty much no hope of that one coming back.
Yeah, that was definitely on my list too. I'm a real big Spectro Magic fan, and from the show opening, you can kind of see that, where I like to keep it close, and it is a shame it's never going to come back. But
I know.
The music is out there for us, which is really cool. Okay, well, Jimmy, why don't you give us one of your missing attractions from Walt Disney World? What did they take away that you just want to have back someday?
Alien Encounter.
Mm. Oh, you don't like the Stitch attraction?
You know, I don't hate the I know the Stitch is loathed. Stitch is one of my favorite Disney characters, so I do appreciate the ride for what it is, but it's no Alien Encounter. Alien Encounter was a fantastic attraction. Very, very scary, but it was mm-hmm. It was very, very believable, and it was it was definitely more of an adult attraction. So I can understand why they got rid of it and tried to make better use of that space, but it was a great attraction to go on. It was a great attraction to bring someone on for the first time.
I have to say, I liked it, and I agree with you, Jimmy. I don't dislike Stitch, but like you mentioned, that's probably a very valid reason to swap it out for maybe a family-friendly attraction. But I know it was a thrilling ride for sure, or thrilling attraction.
Okay, guys, a show of hands, who would scream their heads off in the dark in that thing?
Yes.
Oh, I probably have.
I have to admit, I was never on that attraction.
Are you kidding?
Never.
Right, well, I tell you what, I've never been on a scary ride at Walt Disney World, and that definitely qualified as scary, especially the first couple times. Afterwards, yes. It got a little bit more funnier than scary, but it was definitely pretty scary.
Oh, yeah.
Just listening to those two guys up in the rafters was great.
Oh, and when the alien would bite the guy in half, and you'd hear the bones crunch, and you'd get the spray of water in your face. It was terrible.
It was awesome, and the actors in that were good too. All the actors that were the aliens from the other planet were real actors from TV and the movies too. Sure. So it was a really, really nice experience all the way around. But yeah, I can understand missing that one. Okay, Sam, how about you? What are you missing from the Magic Kingdom? What did they take away?
So Magic Kingdom, there's a lot, right? I put my list together. I had 15 things on my list. Spectro Magic was number one, which I figured somebody would come up with. But I'm going to walk right down Main Street USA and grab two things that I absolutely miss. One being the original Main Street Cinema, where you could go in anytime, sit back and watch some cartoons.
Yes.
And the other, the Penny Arcade. Absolutely, positively miss the Penny Arcade. The only good part there is you can still find it at Disneyland, but there was something about the Penny Arcade, a couple of pennies, some nickels and a dime, and playing some of those turn of the century games. And I absolutely miss the Penny Arcade.
You're right. That definitely fit the street. I mean, it was exactly where it should have been in that time zone, too. They have a couple of those machines up at the train station on Main Street.
I know exactly what you mean. There's some there, and there's also a couple over at the boardwalk that you'll find that we might be able to see in a month or so.
Excellent. Very appropriate also, the location.
So along those same lines, what about the original Diamond Horseshoe with the show? Oh, before it was just an extra counter service that was open seasonally. Have to love that, too.
Right, I remember that. That was similar to the Hoop-Dee-Doo a little bit.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. I never got to see that, but the Golden Horseshoe in Disneyland with Billy Hill and the Hillbillies, and we did get to see them when we were in California, so I imagine that's similar, and I would have loved to have seen the Diamond Horseshoe.
Oh, it was a fun show. I think we still had to get, like, a dinner reservation, or you still had a time your visit for it. It wasn't like a counter surf. It was more of a sit down, but definitely very fun.
Very neat.
Just as a real quick tie in to Alien Encounter, you were talking about the actors, and I just wanted to throw this in here real quick. some of the actors that were in the cast of the sounds, the sound actors that were in the cast were Tyra Banks, Tim Curry, Phil Hartman, Jeffrey Jones, and Kevin Pollak.
Mm. Wow.
Nice. So, yeah, that's pretty strong, huh? They have that many names for one attraction.
Well, that was kind of their, that was their MO.
Yeah.
Which is cool. And they kind of continue that on.
Yeah.
But very cool. I
thought that was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And as far as Magic Kingdom goes, my thoughts are, and I think it was an attraction that definitely was getting tired, but there's no reason they couldn't have rehabbed it and made it a little bit better, was the 20,000 Leagues attraction. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea was my absolute favorite. I thought that was just such the perfect attraction from beginning to end. And yeah, again, granted, toward the end of the attraction's run, it was getting very run down, and the under the water wasn't kept up as it should have been. And I can understand the whole threat of it disappearing and such like that.
You know, I don't remember. I remember it as a kid, and I just remember it being hot and stuffy in there. So I agree. Probably looking back, it would be a good attraction, but I'd give it up for the current Fantasyland, because isn't that where the Mine Train is now?
Oh, sure, but you know, I'd give up the Mine Train for 20,000 Leagues. I haven't been on the Mine Train, so I really can't say it 100%, but if I was given the choice of the two attractions, I think I'd go with the 20,000 Leagues. Of course, an updated version, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
And I think what kind of sealed it for me, and you're saying how it was a little claustrophobic down there, a little stuffy, I tried one of those little subs down in the Keys where you basically are going underwater and you're in a boat, but you're underwater, so everybody's down in the bottom there. And that's really kind of claustrophobic too for the real thing. So it wasn't that far off.
As an adult, or as the Disney nerd I am today, I might have a completely different point of view. I just have very limited memory of it, and the memory I have of it wasn't a real, real good one.
Oh, cool. And everybody has different memories, and I perhaps could have ridden it today and said maybe something opposite, but I definitely remember it as being one of the rides I missed the most. I remember hearing Louie Mangiello mention recently how he had a porthole from one of the original subs.
I don't do that.
Yeah, that sounds like a cool idea. Plus, seeing one of the subs underwater at Castaway Key was just incredible. Having that thing materialize out of the distance, and all of a sudden there's the submarine in front of you. Oh, it was awesome. Really, really cool.
That's cool. That's cool.
Very neat.
So now we know what to get you for your birthday, huh?
Yeah, a sub.
The sub that's over at Hollywood Studios. You just have to explain why it's missing.
I meant the porthole.
No, get the sub. But here's what I want, Jimmy. I want one of the Skyway cars from the Skyway to Tomorrowland to Fantasyland. How about that?
Consider it done.
Nice.
See, that's how I got another thing that I'm missing.
Now, it's funny you mentioned that. Right. One of my favorite views of the 20,000 Leagues attraction was from above.
Absolutely.
I taking the sky ride across and looking down and seeing the submarines moving through the attraction, you still got that sense of realistic, actually a submarine moving through the water. It was very, very cool.
Does the Skyway still exist at Disneyland, or is it gone there as well?
It is gone there as well. There's a big hole in the middle of Matterhorn Mountain where it once went.
I've heard rumors, but do we know exactly the real reason why they got rid of those?
I got to think hurricane and people dumping stuff on people underneath.
Yeah, well, I heard that. I've heard people spitting and...
Just didn't move a lot of people very quickly either, as far as capacity. Well, I mean, I don't know. I didn't get to ride it, but...
Here's the thing. It was fast enough, and it was kind of like people mover fast, so that was fine. And it got you to the other side of the park without having to walk through the crowds, and that was cool too. You know what? I think the main reason was, now thinking back on it, you could see the tops of all the buildings. And the tops of all the buildings were pretty horrible looking. And there was only so much you could do to keep something look so nice. I mean, but you'd see all the different lightning spikes and things like that up on the roofs, and, you know, the black streaks and all the stuff. So that's probably, I think, one of the main reasons. But hurricanes have to be part of it, too.
Yeah, you probably, and you know, following up on what you just said about the top of the building and stuff, I'm sure you could see a lot of the behind the magic stuff, kind of, you know, the big building that the Haunted Mansion's really in, which looks like a warehouse compared to just the facade that you see from street level.
Right.
Things like that.
What do you mean?
Yeah, exactly. and most of that stuff, there was some pretty good strategy as far as where it went. So there was a lot of stuff that was hidden, but...
I have to say the Skyway is probably the attraction I miss most that I never got to ride. It seems so iconic, both to Disneyland and Disney World. And the subs were, but they, you know, as you mentioned, they have repurposed them in Disneyland, so you get a taste of that. I would have loved to experience the Skyway. It seems like something I really missed out on. So it's one I missed that I never got to experience. So.
Right. It was a definitely fun way to go through the park. And if I would be taking pictures now like I did before, like film is so prohibitive. Without film, I'd be taking hundreds of pictures from that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah.
Sure. And you could probably see other parks from it, too. Although maybe I'm thinking it's a little extra higher than it was. But that's what's fun about memories. Okay.
Great views of the castle.
Well, there are views. And actually,
It's got to be about the same height as the... The People Mover, because before they changed that...
Before
they ripped the building down, you know, it was... When you were on the People Mover, before they ripped the building down right there by Space Mountain, you were about the same height, I think.
Yeah, it went up a little bit, but not that much. It felt like you were way up there, especially because it came right down the center of Fantasyland. So you're right over Peter Pan's Flight, and It's a Small World, and Mr. Toad when that was there, and it was great.
That's so cool, yeah.
It was pretty cool.
It's really cool.
It made that turn.
Yep.
Yeah. Before we move on from it, too, the last time I was on it was the year they had the 25th anniversary birthday cake castle. So you mentioned the view of the castle, and I'm like, yeah, well, I was actually turning away.
So when I made my list, Ed, I have two things that they did that I hope they never do again, and you just mentioned one of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I give them credit for the extremeness of it, but the choice was horrible.
We'll see if the other one comes up while we talk.
Okay. Well, we actually are going to be moving from the Magic Kingdom now. And we're going to move over to Epcot. And Epcot has had a lot of things come and go. So I'm interested to hear everything that our co-hosts have to talk about today. So let's start this one with Sam.
Oh, man. So
you can't use us to check off
your list. Can I go first and last? Can I do that?
Sure.
All right, so when I go first, so when I put my list together, Spectrum Magic was number one. Number two, World of Motion. I absolutely love World of Motion. We talked about it on the show before, and that's the one thing that I miss. You know, Test Track's great, and I get it, and I understand why they did it, but that whimsical look at the history of transportation, World of Motion, I miss.
I think it probably was to the point where they were limited in how they could expand that. That might have caused where the test track and things went, but yeah, I agree.
I think when your sponsor says you need to change something, they changed it.
True. I mean, is that how it went down? Do you remember hearing that?
Yeah, if you look at the history, the contract with General Motors had expired, and they weren't going to renew World of Motion, and they came up with the concept of test track, and that's where the whole thing started. Then they got them to renew, so... It had something to do with the sponsorship ending and to keep them. They went to Test Track, which is great. I love Test Track. No qualms about it. But if you go back, of all the things at Epcot, that's what I want to ride again. World of Motion.
Right. Now, Test Track, that was the first fast ride they had over there, wasn't it? I'm trying to think.
Sure was.
And it's the fastest ride in Walt Disney World.
Right. So, well, they established.
The bus drivers would argue with you, Jimmy. The bus drivers would argue all the time.
I doubt the bus driver.
They used to tell me that all the time. They're getting on the bus at the end of the day. What's the fastest attraction in Walt Disney World? And everybody yelled Test Track. And they go, nope, you're riding it right now.
Funny.
I have to say, World of Motion, and probably one that one of you will say that I won't say yet, are two that come up all the time that I also didn't get to ride. I feel like I missed out. We need to go back in time. I have all these newer attractions that aren't quite as...
Well, that is the joy we have today of the internet and YouTube, is that it's not lost forever in somebody's attic in a box in a Super 8 can. We can all share and experience these things because the majority of the things we're going to talk about today, I guarantee you could find on YouTube.
Well, and the music of them. Like, there is an attraction that I love the music of and I never saw it. So, it's really cool, the beauty of the internet today.
You know, but... God, I mean, if you look later on, if you look 10 years, 15 years from now, it'll be so much nicer because, you can find video of World of Motion, but the video is so terrible. that you really can't get a honest.
Yeah,
you know,
well, think of the recorders.
Enjoy it.
Well,
right, my dad had a VHS tape on his shoulder that was huge that he was
looking at. A big one,
yeah. It was like a 32-inch television on your shoulder.
Exactly. That's what my dad was carrying around when I was 16. It's
yeah. But I tell you what, if you've never seen it and you want to see exactly what it was and you have nothing else, well, you got to hang on to something.
I agree. You know what I like even more is going back and looking at some of the old TV specials. They used to do like those hour and a half long TV specials about Walt Disney World, with like John Ritter, and I mean there was a bunch of them in the 70s and 80s, and they're right. Fun to watch.
Every park opening they had a new they had a special, an hour or 2 hour long special. The Hollywood Studios special was phenomenal.
Yep. Epcot too. Epcot was a really good one. They had the Dream Finder and Figment in it. It was really cool.
I love how you can kind of come up with other show ideas. Here we go. I got to write this one down for another show. YouTube is our
friend. You know, we should have a YouTube channel that has some of those things, don't you think?
Yeah,
we're working on that.
Insert shameless plug here.
Yeah. I do. And we started the Disney Nerds Podcast YouTube page out there, and we'll definitely be providing links in our show notes and on the Facebook pages and our website. But let's continue on. I want to hear what Jen has to say about what she misses from Epcot.
Oh, I still... Okay. We've talked about this before on this show, but the first time I ever went to a Flower and Garden Festival or Food and Wine, I don't remember which it was that year, but after... when they started using the Wonders of Life Pavilion as a festival center, I wouldn't go in because I was so mad that they had shut down my favorite pavilion. I could have spent time at any of those attractions, but my favorite was definitely Cranium Command, and I can listen to that whole the whole audio from that entire show over and over again. It's dated, absolutely, but it was very funny and very educational. And to me, I've mentioned this before too, I'm baffled at a culture that's so health oriented that they can't find a sponsor for that pavilion. So it makes me a little sad that it seems maybe they just aren't trying. So that's my interjection. But Cranium Command is the one I miss the most.
Great one. Awesome one. And you're right. There's so many insurance companies making so much money that I can't believe they don't want to get into there. And sponsor some exhibits. That's the perfect launch spot for anything like that.
Health food, water companies. I mean, really anything, because you can tweak any of the attractions. But I mean, anything that talks about healthcare or healthy living, somebody could have got on that. So
sure.
I'm bummed. I still get a little. It's very bittersweet to go into the festival centers now. I do go in them. I've gotten over it, but I do miss that attraction.
Well, that's why I go in there, is to kind of look around.
Right.
You know, and try to remember it.
Yes.
Yeah, we were lucky enough to be down the Christmas before they closed all that and got the kids on a couple of those exhibits in there before they were gone. Yeah.
Did you have warning that they were closing? Or was that just...
Well, that was... It was at the time they were actually kind of quote-unquote seasonal. It wasn't open all the time. And I guess during the holiday season, they had opened it up again. And the only thing that was working was Cranium Command... The movie about parenting, The Making of Me, and then that whole Goofy cartoon with the whole
Goofy about fitness.
Right. I was thinking it was the traffic jam and becoming well, whatever. So that was
Goofy about health.
Right,
that's it. Goofy about health.
Right.
Yeah. Was Body Wars open?
No, that was not open. And the theory was they were testing out new Star Tours vehicles back there.
Maybe
that was also
because they matched.
Great attraction. Yep. Oh, such a good all the attractions back there were so good.
And actually, Body Wars, I remember that as actually, and I hate to even say this, but I remember that one actually being pretty rough. And I was a kid thinking that. That reminded me of the Fantastic Voyage when they shrunk down those little guys and put them inside the spy.
Yep.
Way back when.
Exactly.
Sorry to date myself there. Oh, sure. I used to watch it on the Monday afternoon movie or something like that after school.
Yes, I pulled a Sam and got a couple of them in there, but I did pick a favorite.
That's good.
Okay. Now, as far as Epcot goes, I definitely had a couple, and some of them were mentioned here. I think and it came between two. And at first, I was sure I was going to start talking about Figment. But you know, the other one that came up, I really miss the Living Seas. I know it's hard to say because we have Turtle Talk with Crush, and they've repurposed that whole exhibit in there. But I think they kind of got lost a little bit. And then, you know, of course, the Nemo ride. I think they got a little lost in the whole idea, that whole pavilion. And I really love the message they gave of the ocean, exploring and adventure and things like that. So I kind of picked that over Figment, even though I'd really like to get the old Figment back, and I'll try to squeeze that in. I really miss the old Living Seas Pavilion.
I think you did just squeeze it in, by the way.
So,
I agree with you. Right. There's something about the original Living Seas. I agree.
So two things. One's just a side note that while we're talking about Epcot, I have a friend who's down right now, and he just sent me a text that said, Epcot is a brutal assault on your body. I'm exhausted.
Right. Does he have kids, Jimmy?
He went with a five-year-old, him and his girlfriend and a five-year-old. He actually was a cast member in the college program years ago and worked at Living with the Land, but he hadn't been in years. So,
every parent comes out tired. You know that.
Oh, yeah. No, he is.
Epcot.
Right. So as far as what I miss, I'm going to go with, and this is just something I remember, and it wasn't there for long, but while we were there for our honeymoon, which was in 2000, they had the big Tapestry of Nations parade, and that's when they did the, that's when they had the whole tie-in with Illuminations as well. They were doing that whole multicultural Tapestry of Nations theme. They had this big parade with the stilts and the big banners and the flags that they would wave around. It was really cool.
The Tapestry of Dreams. That was on my list.
I love that Tapestry of Dreams. I love Tapestry of Nations. I love the Illuminations Millennium. I didn't see any of those things, but that entire park soundtrack for that time frame, that parade, I've watched it on YouTube. I have such an affinity for that parade, even though I never saw it. So that's the one I was thinking of earlier that somebody was going to say.
When I bought my home theater system a couple years ago, like, the first thing I had to do to try it out was play Illuminations on it.
Awesome.
That's the Millennium Celebration. I mean, really, what other thing to test your surround sound than Illuminations? I mean, it sounds so fantastic.
Sure.
That's perfect.
And then I'll also throw a quick side note in there, since everybody else is cheating, and say I also miss Jeremy Irons in Spaceship Earth.
Yeah, that's not a bad one. You're right. I'll take the voice. Well, okay, let me ask you this. Since you threw the second one out there and broke the rules and nobody else got called on it, I'm going to call you on it.
That's all right. I'm going back.
Okay.
What do you think about the rehab of Spaceship Earth? Forget the voices. Like, was the rehab what they did in there? They added the computer scene in the garage up at the top. Was that worth it? Or is it just the voice?
I think it's more the voice. I don't dislike her. I think she's a great actress, Judi Dench. I like her. I'm a huge 007 fan, so I think she's a great actress. But I just don't like her in that. She sounds condescending. And I think Jeremy Irons' voice was perfect for it, actually.
Great. Cool. Okay, Sam, I know you're itching. Go ahead, finish this out on Epcot.
I'll finish out on Epcot. I have two, but I already went. But that's okay. So we talked about parades.
He can only cheat once.
He has an extra, and he's going to squeeze an extra on the top.
You talked about parades. It was called Parade, but it was Characters on Parade. I don't know if you guys remember this. It was a double-decker, the British-style bus that was full of characters that would drive out once a day and park right in the main plaza as you enter World Showcase, and just characters are come piling off of it. Mickey, Minnie, Chippendale, Donald, Goofy. Do you guys remember that?
Yep. I have seen pictures and heard of it, and I don't know that – and you know what? I mean, I may have seen it, and it's not – you know, get it confused with seeing a picture or a video of it. That's a pretty cool one. Along with one of the other ones I wish I could have saw was Beaker and...
Oh, yeah, Muppet Labs.
The animatronic.
They put that around.
Yeah, the animatronic. I've never seen that or any of that. I haven't seen any of that. I mean, other than Push. I've seen Push, but I hadn't seen the Muppet animatronic, and I hadn't seen Lucky at Animal Kingdom.
Well, yeah, those are very, very limited.
One of those. Those are cool. Yeah, they're very cool, though.
Right.
Yeah. So, characters on parade. My last one, right, this is our favorites, and there's sort of a personal connection here, so I'm going over to the land. Before Soarin', and I'm not going to say Kitchen Cabaret, because to me, it was Food Rocks.
I love that. That was on my list, too.
Rocks. I miss Food Rocks because that my son was 3-4 years old, and we used to go into there all the time, and I just absolutely loved it, knew the songs. I mean, the food rapper, that's awesome. So Food Rocks is on the list.
Oh my gosh. Sam, do you know if there's the Kitchen or the Food Rock soundtrack available anywhere? I'm looking at the track list and I had forgotten half of them. That was an amazing show.
The music was so great for Food Rocks.
It really was.
It's good. Peter Gabriel, just some of the songs. Cher. Yeah.
Bohemian Rhapsody cover. Yes.
Yes.
Very cool. Okay, well, let's keep on going around the parks, and we're going to hit the Animal Kingdom next. Now, the Animal Kingdom hasn't been open as long, so they haven't had its time to ditch, or at least you thought, ditch too many things, although I think we came up with a couple. For this one, we're going to start with Jimmy.
Animal Kingdom, it's hard because there hadn't been that many things there that they've gotten rid of, but I will say that I did appreciate and enjoy the Pocahontas. The little live show that they did back by Camp Minnie Mickey, where they brought out the live animals and the little mice would run around the tree and they had the raccoon, and it was very, very entertaining. And the kids loved it. I don't know why they ever got rid of that. I mean, I guess it's because of high maintenance, but I really enjoyed it.
Well, I think it was just a matter of the progression out of there. I thought the Pocahontas show was awesome. It was perfect for Animal Kingdom. It was Pocahontas, granted, but it was an animal show, basically.
I'm a fan of Pocahontas, and where else can you find her? You don't really see her in the parks anymore. That was kind of the last place. I have heard that you can see her in Animal Kingdom every now and then, but not very often. There aren't too many ties to Pocahontas there.
Sure. I have a sighting. Yes. Oh, Fantasmic.
And she's definitely available in the Animal Kingdom, but not. I think the animal part of that show is very cool.
I did read a fun fact today about Fantasmic. Just
okay.
Since you brought it up,
sure.
The water in the water is only 1 foot. How do they get that big boat in 1 foot of water?
On wheels.
It's on a track, Jimmy.
Shh. The canoes aren't though, because I've seen those guys kind of losing it in the wind before. But definitely is. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, not for those guys. they were having a hard time.
I mean, it's cool when you see something different like that.
Okay, well, so Animal Kingdom, the one I had for that, and this is actually, I don't know if this is cheating or not, because I don't actually have an attraction. I was going to say the Pocahontas also. But what I have as a secondary is, you know what I wish they would bring back? The movable Yeti. I think that the Yeti coming back in A mode, we'll call it, as they all do, as opposed to B mode, would be phenomenal. However, I don't think that is going to happen ever again. The story that we last heard was that he was shaking the foundation of the entire mountain, and it was going to be some type of engineering challenge to get it fixed. So we'll see. But I definitely would like to have him back.
You know, when I watched, I 100% agree, but I remember watching something about when they built that, and they were talking about that I don't understand how it can shake the mountain, because when they were talking about when they built it, that it was almost built as three separate structures, the mountain, the track, and then the Yeti.
Right, well.
So he's not really tied into the mountain or the track.
Maybe they were wrong.
It could have been an engineering fail, but I don't know. I don't know. I'd love to see
him. And actually, he is a she named Betty.
Oh, yes.
Betty the Yeti? Yes. No, I haven't heard this one.
Betty the Yeti, who likes ice cream cones and just pretends to be scary because that's her job. If you had young kids, you might have heard this story.
Gotcha. Yeah, there you go.
It's a good one.
It is. It really is.
Is that one of the stories where you lie to your kids?
Sure.
That's straight from the cast members. That is her name.
Yeti. How do they explain Betty's behavior on the tracks with the cartoon, the animation part?
That's her job. She has to go be scary. And then she comes home from a long day at work and she enjoys her ice cream. That's why you see the cute little stuffed Yetis outside and instead of the mean ones. And
oh, okay.
Yeah, it worked for my kids. I believe it wholeheartedly.
Very.
I would have, going back to what we were talking about earlier, I'd love to hear the story about the alien and extraterrestrial.
Oh, no, that was just evil.
Right. No, his name
evil
is Bert.
Evil Incorporated.
His name's Bert, and he really likes people.
Right.
So... back to the Yeti.
Right, yeah.
Back to the Yeti, because I believe everything I read on the internet, as you guys do, right? The Yeti's hydraulics. It's all true. So, but it kind of makes sense. The hydraulics that are used to move that thing around crack the foundation that he's sitting on. And that's the reason he's in B mode. So they would literally have to remove the Yeti, re-pour the foundation, and put him back in. And which is why it ain't going to happen.
And hopefully it's the way it's done.
Right.
So for the listeners who don't know what B-mode is the Yeti doesn't move and they put a strobe light on him.
A strobe light.
And you know what? If you've never seen them in A-mode, then...
Oh, no, you're not missing
it. Looks cool because you're zipping past. But you know what? In A-mode, he is grabbing for your head. And it was that realistic. So
yeah, absolutely.
And the attraction is still great, but my 6-year-old went on it and... Heart after all the buildup we had to get them on it, barely even noticed, because if you're not looking for it, it looks like a strobe light and maybe something caught your eye as you zoomed past it, but it was different than when it swung down on top of you and looked like it was going to jump out of the mountain onto your train.
Well, you know, he's not easy to see, because you come in, you're coming in, you're going indoors from outside, so your eyes are adjusting to the darkness. So you're only there for a split second. But I will agree, if you've seen him in A mode, there's definitely a difference.
Right. Yes.
But if you've never seen him in A mode, I mean, it's still not a bad... It's still a fantastic attraction.
It's a great ride. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely. Okay, let's move on to Animal Kingdom, and we're going to go to Jen next.
All right. Well, this one, I do know of a couple things that are missing, but... the one that I think I will miss the most, I'm a parade girl, and so this is my second parade of the list. I actually haven't been back since it was missing, but Mickey's Jammin' Jungle Parade, I loved. We actually got to ride in it once, and I loved the music, and I think that it was a great parade. And I think as we go back repeatedly and it's not there, then I'm really going to miss that one and hope that they bring back a daytime parade once all the construction is finished.
So what was the trick to getting picked? Tell me about that.
Well, I don't know. We happened to, it was the youngest person in our party was turning 13. It was my sister, my mom, myself, and my husband. And I remember we were all in matching like Bengals gear, which is funny because two of us aren't even Bengals fans. But we had like different things that we all happened to have. And from Cincinnati, everyone has something Bengals in their closet, I guess, or somebody else who does. And so we all had like matching clothes on, but it wasn't really over the top. I mean, they weren't matching, they were like coordinating. And we were just walking around, taken in toward the front, you know, after everyone runs off to either the safari ride or Expedition Everest. We were just kind of strolling by slowly, and someone stopped us on that bridge toward Camp Minnie Mickey and asked us if we were planning on being around most of the day and if we were interested in being in the parade. So we did. We rode behind Goofy and heard the same 90 seconds of the soundtrack over and over again, but it was still really enjoyable. We loved it.
Oh yeah, it's a lifetime memory.
We donned our little safari vests and plastic hats and waved at everybody. They gave us a digital, or not digital, a little disposable camera so we could take pictures from the float, which was really fun.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, very cool. I have no idea what the secret was, but that's where we were.
That's cool.
Were the Bengals shirts striped, like tiger stripes?
Two of them at least were jerseys, so they would have had some stripes, but right. Yeah, maybe that was it. Yeah, and there were no kids in our party. I don't know if that's a plus or minus, depending, because we're kind of high up. I don't know if there's any rules about that, but I guess it doesn't matter because now we can't do it anymore. But it was really cool. So it's always got a place in my heart.
Oh, very nice.
Just, we had one thing happen like that. Nothing compared to being in a parade, but we did have one time we were going into the Figment ride. and we had a cast member come out, and she had given my kids like lab coat vests, and they got to go behind the ropes where the little desk and seating area is, and they got to sit behind the desk and take pictures and stuff. Which was
cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And then, as far as the parade's concerned, in Animal Kingdom, I don't know if we stayed that late at Animal Kingdom enough times to see the parade a whole lot. But I will miss the little morning show as well. They did the little parade in the morning for rope drop, and they don't do that anymore.
Right. And they also had the boats. The adventure begins and the adventure continues. And they had the little boats with characters that came by and sang a song or two. And I feel like that only happened on like one of our trips. So, yeah, like that, yeah, just some fun character interactions. You couldn't get close. It was just on like the body of water that goes, I don't know if it has a name even, but that goes, you know, in front of Everest and things like that. So I don't know how long it lasted. I just know we caught it at least one trip. So
it goes for miles and miles and miles.
Okay. That's right.
Wrong park, and we're moving on. Sam, what's for us in Animal Kingdom?
So initially I had nothing for Animal Kingdom. I know there's lots of things that aren't there. But here's what I have now, because I started thinking about this again, and it goes back to something that Yeehaw Bob Jackson had said on our show. And I remembered Tarzan Rocks.
Yes.
Oh, so right.
Tarzan Rocks was the original show that is now where the Finding Nemo musical is. This was Tarzan, but even cooler. There were lots of skateboarders, lots of stunts happening, lots of people jumping around, and apparently Bob Jackson for a while was one of the piano players in this show, to the point where I had to go back to the video I have from that show and try to look to see if I can tell, but it's of course not high definition and a little grainy. But
so we've got one more park to go to, and for me this one actually was kind of the hardest, Disney Hollywood Studios. I came out of this one with, again, two. And it's funny because the one I had was an attraction, the one wasn't an attraction. And this time I think I'm going to have to kind of go off the rules and go with a non-attraction. I miss Sid Kahinga's already. And I haven't even been back there, but I think it's somewhere that I've gone every trip down there to at least walk through the store one time, look at the different pictures they have, and answer the trivia questions that they had on the chalkboard out front. And I'm not going to be able to do that anymore. And I think I'm already missing that, which is kind of strange. And I think based on that, because nothing really else stood out to me except for Sounds Dangerous, I'm going to go with Sid's.
You know,
it's a great call.
That is a really good call. And I think mainly because it was just one of those places that just hadn't been homogenized and had the same old, you know, the same old merchandise and all that. You could go in there and look at those rare signatures. I mean, that was the only place you could walk in and go buy a, like, Walt Disney signature.
Oh, no doubt. They had so many different actors in there. And it was just pretty much every time I would see something different. And, again, I want to point out those trivia questions were just something extra fun that you could try each time you go down there and try to win a certificate.
Absolutely.
That is kind of an attraction. That was really neat. I will miss that.
Okay, well, we'll try to get over it as we move on to, let's go with Jimmy next.
So I'm going to go with Superstar Television.
Cool.
Anybody remember that?
The special effects show?
Yeah, well, so Superstar Television, you actually could get up, and I only remember it as a kid and seeing pictures of me and my sister doing it when we were children. But you could get up and basically get in front of a blue screen, and they would have you act out a scene, and then they would record it and put you into a movie.
Which movie did you do, Jimmy? Did you do Tool Time, or did you do Lucy?
I don't remember. I don't remember. So, so that's one of the things I thought was really cool, kind of interactive. And then, in honor of Sam, I'll cheat and say one more.
Don't take mine. Don't take mine.
I miss the original backlot tour, the backstage tour, where you could walk around. I remember when I was a teenager and you could walk up the walk on the catwalk and see into the sound stages, and they were filming Bear in the Big Blue House. And you could walk around, and it was a guided tour, and you could see the animators. Actually, we watched them working on Pocahontas.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. That brings back a great memory. I remember that also. They were working on The Lion King.
Oh, really cool. Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. That was fun to see. Okay, Jen, what do you miss from Hollywood Studios?
I do also miss just the working studio atmosphere of that. I loved seeing, we were there, you guys are mentioning things you saw being drawn. We saw parts of Brother Bear being worked on, and just some really, I think that was so cool to just see some of these movies being made. But as far as attractions go, I loved Sounds Dangerous. I don't know, I'm glad you mentioned it, Ed. Did you like it as well?
Oh, I've always loved it. No, I always loved it. I thought it was a great attraction, and it totally brought out another thing that I always think is super important, but people don't think about as much, is that the sound, to me, is like 90% of the movie.
It is. I love the attraction itself. I mean, I did it over and over again, and it was cheesy, and it was Drew Carey being Drew Carey, but I thought it was really enjoyable. But then also afterwards, you go out and you get to make a video doing Foley sounds and think, you know, just learning how to make certain sound effects with different props. And I just thought that entire building was really cool, and I was disappointed when it was closed.
I think that's really cool as far as the Sounds Dangerous area. The after exhibit is really nice. You can play with the sounds. And for those who haven't seen that area, think of it as the sound equivalent to over at the Animation Courtyard, where you have those different things you can actually color people in, use different colors, and put your face into like a fairy tale and stuff like that, find out what character you are with all those screens. Have you guys been over there? This is where all the characters are now to get the autographs at the Animation Courtyard. So the Sounds Dangerous was the basically the sound equivalent of that. It was very cool.
Yeah, I remember they had like some coconuts and different like parquet floor and this and that, and you can make like the sound of a horse. And that's how, you know, so that was cool. You could, there was all kind of things you can kind of play with and make different noises, and they would show you how it was in a movie. So, but I also understand, you know, kind of why they moved on, because, you know, Drew Carey is getting kind of, that was heavy Drew Carey.
Right. Now, that was his pre-Price is Right days before.
Yeah, that was. He's like the weird skinny Price is Right guy.
That's exactly right.
He's
was
not
Drew
even
Carey
funny anymore, really.
Of the Drew Carey show, yes, and people probably don't even remember that Drew Carey.
He was great. He was really it was a fun show. Okay, Sam, who do you have, or what attraction do you have from Hollywood Studios? And you know what? Let's, for old time's sake, call it MGM.
Oh yes, love that MGM Studios. I'll actually be a little more specific than Jen. I'll look at the backlot tour, specifically Residential Street.
Residential Street. I knew where you were going.
I loved Residential Street. Two things I loved regarding the Residential Street. One, just the fact that, wow, that's the Golden Girls house. That's the empty nest house. The different facades that they had and the explanations of, these are just used for the opening scenes. Nothing really happens behind them. But that's also where the Osborne Lights once were. And I never got to see the Osborne Lights on Residential Street. And I would love to see them dancing the way they do today on the facades of all of these houses. So I'll definitely say Residential Street.
Right. That would have been so cool. I missed that too. I just had a thought. A way they could have kept that whole area viable would be to kind of build the old TV houses, or the old houses that we all know from history, like the Brady Bunch house or things like that, where they can kind of keep them on the street there, make it worthwhile passing by.
I want the Jefferson's apartment. That would be cool.
That would be a little tough to do, but yes. but there's a lot of those iconic structures that we have from the past. And that would have been a really great place to put it. I mean, the vehicle graveyard they have there isn't exclusively Disney, so I think they could have gotten away with it. Okay, well, that's really great things from all the four parks of Walt Disney World that we really wish were back. Those are some of the things that we really kind of have really fond memories for, and I think that's so special.
I'm not done, though, Ed. I got some more. You know me.
Well, I'll tell you what, Sam. I know you've got dozens and dozens of these items. So here's what I want you to do. take one absolute Disney memory that you want to relive again, and let's hear what that is. And let's finish up the show tonight with that.
Hey, this is it. This is what I want to do again at Walt Disney World. It's not in any parks. I want the opportunity to ride in the front of a monorail again.
Yes.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah, that's an awesome one. You're right. You're right.
I have lots of pictures. The kids used to get the little monorail captain cards that they'd give them, or the driver's license. That was great.
Right.
Now, because of unfortunate circumstances, Disney doesn't do that anymore, but that was a great memory, and I'd love to do that again sometime.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
That's a good one.
Yeah, we have the best picture we have of the two kids together right in front of the Magic Kingdom station in the front of the monorail. Awesome, awesome. Good one, Sam. Awesome.
No more?
No, that's it. Cut them off. Turn that microphone off.
Muted mic.
Okay. Well, that's our show for this week, folks. That's show number 46 of the Disney Nerds podcast, talking all about our favorite attractions that are no longer at Walt Disney World. We want to hear what you have to say. Send us an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com and let us know. Before we finish for tonight, we want to congratulate Charlotte Cruz on guessing correctly on our trivia question on our contest. If you remember from two shows back, we asked the question when we did our Christmas in July show. Our question a couple weeks ago was, what two attractions at Walt Disney World have a Christmas theme inside them all year round? And Charlotte came up with the correct answer. It was Soarin', which has the Christmas scene at the parade at the end in Disneyland, and the Carousel of Progress, which has, the final scene being the Christmas scene. So, Charlotte, congratulations. We're going to get you a Disney Nerd pin as soon as we can. So, again, thank you, everybody, for listening to our show. Next week's show, show number 47, we're going to be talking all about our Walt Disney World meet that we have coming up this October. So we hope you all tune in next week. So for Jimmy, Jennifer, Sam, this is Ed, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Kungaloosh.
See you real soon.
Bye.
Wait, I got more. I have more.